praising God and just worshiping Him fills me with so much joy, brings me to like connection with God that normally without praise and worship or in His Word, you're just not there. And so it's just beautiful to be able to express love to God, something that the world in general lacks to do. I feel filled with His joy, His strength, His power, His deliverance, the full package of what God has in store for us when we come to Him with open hearts and praise Him and worship Him. Amen? I'm going to continue to stay with the tradition when I do speak of saying a little humor before we get started. Being that it was Thanksgiving last week, I felt it just fit for me to say a Thanksgiving joke. The joke is titled, "The Kids Are Coming Home." It says, the day before Thanksgiving, an elderly man in Phoenix called his son in New York and said to him, "I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough. We're sick of each other, and so you call your sister in Chicago and tell her." Frantic, the son called his sister, who exploded on the phone. "Like heck they're getting divorced," she shouted. "I'll take care of this." She called Phoenix immediately and said to her father, "You're not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until I get there. I'm calling my brother back, and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me?" The man hung up the phone and turned to his wife and said, "Okay, honey, the kids are coming for Thanksgiving and paying for their flights." I did think about that and how upset I would have been with that joke played on me. But we could find humor and everything. Again, I'm going to stay. My message is going to be wrapped around Thanksgiving. You know, being that we just came from Thanksgiving, celebrating Thanksgiving this last Thursday. Throughout the week, I was asking the Lord for a message, and He said, just came upon to me, like how we take advantage of God and don't offer Him up the Thanksgiving that we should. And so we do that, or we tend to do it once a year because it's a tradition. And I hope that my message today breaks that mold in Jesus' name, and that we get to Thanksgiving for every day. And so I've titled my message, Thanksgiving is for every day. Amen. Throughout this message, we're going to answer three questions. They are, what are we to be thankful for? How can we live in Thanksgiving? And how do we spread our Thanksgiving? What are we to be thankful for? How can we live in Thanksgiving? And how do we spread our Thanksgiving? The Bible in Revelation 7:11-12 says that the angels are falling on their faces to worship the Lord and giving Him thanks. I paraphrase that. But the angels in heaven, what they're doing is that they're worshiping Him and they're giving Him thanks. This is what the angels do. And if the angels are doing that in heaven, I would assume that we could do the same. Amen? Jesus gives us an example of being thankful in Matthew 11:25-30. At the time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord in heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What are we to be thankful for? That was our first question. We need to be thankful every day that Jesus died on the cross and made the way for us through him to know the Father. Without that, it would be impossible for us to know Father God. Nonetheless, his perfect plan through Jesus dying on the cross. This is a gift that we should be thankful to God every single day, and how we fail to remember that. We fail to remember that on a daily basis. We consider that when we first get saved, and we say, Lord, we thank you, we accept you, we know that we're sinners that need to be saved by the grace of God, we know that you made the way, please forgive us, and we accept you as Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my wickedness, forgive me for my waywardness, cleanse me with the blood that was shed on the cross, we accept. We do this, but then we forget. We forget our first love. We forget that special moment when we entered into God's kingdom, when God made the way through Jesus. And so we go on with our lives and we do so many different things, and we forget to remember daily that special gift that God gave us, the gift that came in a package on a cross. Verse 28 and 29 tells us that all that are weary and burdened will find rest in him. We can be thankful because Jesus gives us rest. When we come to Jesus, and I could tell you, and I'm going to speak about my testimony when I came to the Lord, because when I came to know Jesus 7 or so years ago, it was as if I had a burden. You know, it reminds me of the Pilgrim's Progress when Christian had a huge boulder of burden that he carried around throughout his whole life. And it reminds me of that in my life, because when I came to know who Jesus was and the miracle that God did in my life, where he opened my eyes to the things of the Spirit and at the same time relieved me of the burden of sin. And it was as if another part of me, a bad part that I want nothing to do with, was lifted. I mean, this is my experience that I experienced. It was one of a releasing and uplifting. It was almost as if I felt like I was the Hunchback of Notre Dame and I had a burden that I was carrying around for years. My failures, my wrongdoings, things that I did to people that maybe I was too proud to say I'm sorry for. The situations that caused for me to continue to stack something up instead of relieving it. I had no idea how to do that. When I came to Jesus and I was able to read in his word what God sent Jesus to us for, to me it was an automatic relief. I did not know that was at my disposal. I did not know that all I needed to do was to ask him to forgive me. And when I did that, again, it was as if I could breathe again. It was almost as if I had the pressure closing in on me and I couldn't breathe. And so I can't forget that first love. I can't forget that first time when I was able to see Jesus of the Scriptures as not just on paper, but in life. It was true. I confessed it. I believed it. And it became a part of me. It became real to me. It wasn't just a story. It wasn't the story that I heard as a kid of Jesus dying on a cross. It was the story of Jesus dying on the cross because of me. Because I put Jesus on that cross. That became real. That became real. It became that I was accepted by God. When I received Jesus, I entered in. We need to be thankful for that. We need to be thankful that God made the way. Amen? When we feel tired, we find rest. We are thankful for he is our strong tower. Psalm 61:3 says, "For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against my foe, against the foe." Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. What is a strong tower? The TNLV reads a fortified tower. A fortified tower is built high above the ground. It has thick walls that are very, very hard to penetrate. And it defends its people. I describe to you what is a man-made fortified tower. The Lord says that He is our fortified tower. We need to see God as the God of the universe, that the Bible says in Isaiah 48:13, my own hand laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I summon them, they all stand up together. We need to see God as the real God that He is, one that has the earth in the palm of His hand. He has everything in control. There's nothing that God is not in control of. And so God says that He is our strong tower. Think about it. Would you prefer to be in the strongest of strong towers, or the strongest of the fortified towers, or God, who is the strong tower? The entire world can gather together and make the strongest tower, and it cannot compare to God's strong tower, that He has the universe at His control. When He tells the stars to start, ignite, to be born, they listen to His command. The Bible said in Genesis that His spoken word made where we sit today. Everything is in His grasp. I'd rather be His strong tower any day over the strong powers of this world. Amen. God the Father has given us His Son and has invited us into His strong tower. That's worthy of our praise and thanksgiving. We need to be thankful to God for inviting us to be a part of us, to want for us to be a part of Him. He created us to be in perfect communion with us so that He can be in communion with Pastor Mel, to be able to speak into his life, for Pastor Mel to be able to speak to him. When that communion is broken, that's not God's intention. That's not what God wants. That's not what God created us for. God created us so that we can know who He is and for Him to know who we are. Not for us to know about Him, because we know about many things, but do we know God? And God has called us into the perfect union. He wants us to know. He wants to know you, and He wants you to know Him. And that is worthy of His praise. Amen? How can we live in thanksgiving? When we are tested, we find rest. We give thanks, for He promised us a crown. James 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Listen, I love God, and as much as He's promised me a crown, I don't do it for the crown. But God says in His word that those who persevere, those who continue to pass the tests of life, will receive a crown of life. Either I want it or I don't, God is going to give it to me. He's going to extend it to you. We should be thankful for that, because God wants to make you royalty, because you are royalty. You've been adopted into His kingdom. You were once children of this world, and God has called you into being children of the Most High. And for that, He wants to give you a crown. He wants to make you the prince and princesses of His kingdom. That's worthy of praise. When you are tested, consider the great opportunity ahead, the crown of life. Your Father in heaven has promised that you are not going through everything that you're going through for nothing. You're not just going to go through your trials, your issues that you're going through, the things that hurt you the most, just to go through them. God says there's a purpose and a reason in everything that's going on. And when you overcome them, consider the prize ahead, the crown of life. There's something there for you, and it's not just disappointment. Find your rest in Him while living in your thanksgiving. If we're going through the worst times of our lives, God has given us something, a tool, in order for us to be able to get ahead instead of being under the situation. And the Lord calls that thanksgiving. The Lord says, give me thanks, praise me, bring me glory, and I will strengthen you. That's how you get your strength to overcome. Because while you're under your circumstance, the world has its standards of being worried, you know, being controlled by something. God says, leave it up to me. Let me take care of that for you. And just thank me, and you'll see how you will overcome. We don't know the outcome. We don't have the insight that God has. At times we think we do, though. At times we think that we're going to make it our way. And so we strive, we push, and sometimes we entangle ourselves because we think or we want the outcome that we think best is for us. But God says, and I've said this many a times, just around the corner is your blessing. You don't know how far you are from the corner. You could be inches away and you can't see. But live in thanksgiving. Give me praise. Live in thanksgiving. It's a little difficult at times for me to be able to express the situations that I go through because of my makeup, I guess I'll call it that. But we're all going through stuff. Some people are going through things that they call are their mountains, right? And others are truly going through mountains of situations. And so I don't want to make it seem like my situations are greater than others or less than others. But I'm sure I don't want your situations. I have enough of my own. Currently, I'm going through some stuff at work that would really keep me in a place if I didn't know the Word of God of being worried, deliberate, and resentful. And I have to honor God. And although my flesh and my human nature wants to attack, come out, reject, abuse, and just every temptation possible that the enemy is shooting at me, I have to settle in on God's promises and His Word. And so, although the future, I don't know it, I have to trust God for it and say, Lord, whatever it is that you are allowing for me to be going through right now is to build me up. It's not to tear me down. The enemy tears you down. God builds you up. Okay? And so what I'm going through right now at work, God is using to prepare my heart. And so I'm grateful and thankful. And so I can't be miserable. I have to be filled with joy. And I have to ask God. This doesn't come easy. It comes from multiple hours, I would say, of thinking. Because that's what we do best, is think, overthink, and think some more. I don't worry, though. I can't worry. I don't have enough time to worry. Because if I give time to worrying, I've lost the battle. And so what I do is I give it to the Lord, and I got to pray about it. I have to ask the Lord to strengthen me because I'm weak. I'm weak in the flesh. And I say, Lord, help me, because I know that if I go in this without you, it's failure. But with you, I'm full of thanksgiving. I'm living in thanksgiving. And so I choose to push ahead and push against that's trying to push against me. Asking God, Lord, you are the strong tower. I'm going to be in your fortress, and I'm going to allow you to fight this battle. And so push, Lord, push. And I get filled with His joy. Why? Because there's purpose. God is dealing with my character. God is dealing with my future. I'm excited about it because God only knows that in order for you to have a miracle, you got to be in a miraculous situation. And so I want to see God's miracles, although I have to stop asking for them all too often because God will work it out somehow for you to be in those situations. But listen to this. This is not the time to lose heart, my friends. This is the time to dig your heels in deep and fall into the shelter of the Most High. This is the time when you're going through these trials, when you're going through just the days that are so hard to wake up to. This is the time that you dig in your heels. You know, it just reminds me of a football player that when they get up there, they dig in. They can't be pushed back. They have to push forward. And so that's what we need to do. We need to wake up every single day and dig in to take one step forward and not be pushed back because we need to keep going forward. Amen? When we are doing His will, we find rest. We give thanks for He has anointed us. 2 Corinthians 1:21 says, "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." Imagine that. You go buy a brand new car, you fill out the paperwork, and you give a $500 deposit. That tells the owner, this is done. He's coming back for his car. Deal is finished. That car has a sticker sign that says sold. God said He deposited. The God of the universe that has everything in by the palm of His hand. We are not even an ant size. When you can't even identify the human race, even if they stood together in bunches when you're in outer space. But God says that He has deposited His Holy Spirit in us as a guarantee to what is to come. I have to believe that. I have to stand firm on that. We can rest in this promise that came with a deposit. The one that deposited His Spirit in us calls us blessed when we persevere, when we push through, you know. Just even Thanksgiving right now, Black Friday, you know, people were pushing through, you know, to get a toy. God says, push through, fight, don't give up, don't lay down while giving me thanks. Because if you do it on your own, you're only as good as your last fight. But if you let God fight for you, you're as good as His fight. And God is the God of the universe. He can fight a lot better than we can. We're weak. He is strong. Amen? We can live in Thanksgiving by fighting the fight and staying on course. Don't lose the path. It may look like you're going the wrong way because against your flesh, everything looks like it's the wrong thing. Because your flesh wants to do what your flesh wants to do. But the Spirit is what we need to be guided from. How can we spread our thanksgiving? The same effort that we give supporting ourselves with all the hard work that we do to get all the toys that we have or want is the same way that we need to approach our spiritual lives. Right? Imagine that you work 40 hours a week, right? 40 hours a week minimum. Some people are working 80. They're killing themselves for the American dream. To buy a house, hopefully with two garages, hopefully with two cars, and have a swimming pool. And they do everything that they can to achieve this goal. But their spirit takes second place. They may go to church one Sunday once in a while. They're working so hard that they're engulfed in this work. I know it because I live this. I worked for everything that I wanted, for every desire that I wanted. So I know this full well, to fight and achieve to get a possession so that I can say I had the possession. But what happens when you have that possession it's not good enough because somebody else has something better. So now you're competing with the next guy. Then you overcome that guy, you go to the next guy. And it just never becomes good enough because that's not really what your heart desires. Your heart truly desires for you to fill the Spirit. You know, God says that with the little stuff, if you just take care of the little stuff, the little that He gives you, the much will come. And so we concentrate on it backwards. We concentrate on getting the much, and then we'll take care of the Spirit, which we consider the little. But it's backwards. God did this with Solomon. God asked Solomon, what did he want? Solomon said, I want knowledge and wisdom. God saw that his heart was right and said, I'm going to give you much more. I'm going to give you knowledge and wisdom, but I'm going to give you the riches. I'm going to give you that much more. When your heart is right, God will give you the desires of your heart as long as it's according to His will. I say that because how can we spread our thanksgiving? If we're closed in the American dream, it's hard for us to be able to spread the truth of God's word because we're going to be saying or preaching a different message. And so we need to come back to the truth. We need to adopt His ways, cleanse this thing that's up here, this register. I wish we had just a quick button like a clear history, like in a computer. I would just easily clear, get it all out. Why? What's the end result of spreading this thanksgiving? I have a partner of mine, and it's just a pleasure for me because when I was a young Christian, I had so much zeal and I had so much passion for God's things. But in my youth, I didn't know how to really massage it. And so I was sharp. I spewed sharp words. I tried to bring conviction. I tried to do the work of the Holy Spirit because I just didn't know. And God is faithful, though. God is faithful because I was still spreading the news. I could have been the guy that Paul said, I wouldn't do it that way, but he's preaching Jesus. Let him do whatever he's got to do. I could have been that guy that Paul was talking about. And so, but I did whatever I could with what tools I had available to me. And it wasn't a fun ride. And we actually broke paths for a little bit and came back together. But 7 years later, that's how long it took. Why? I have no idea, but that's what it took. And God, His promises came true. Because a couple of months back, this partner of mine that once told me to take religion out of my office, that he would not talk religion or politics in the office, which I rejected because I told him that's not possible. That's like you telling me not to breathe. To be able to keep my mouth from speaking the truth of God is like telling me not to breathe, and I couldn't do that. But I respected that he didn't want to hear it anymore, and so I told him that I will respect. 7 or 6 years later, he called me into his office and said, can you buy me a Bible? At that very moment, I thanked God because his promises came true. Not that I didn't believe his promises, but it's just God has a way of reminding you of them when you sometimes forget. And so for months now, we've been speaking and chewing on the word, and his faith is ever increasing. He's being bold in his faith, speaking to people about the God of the Bible that he's come to know, about Jesus. And although he's very young in his faith, it just fills me up, inspires me to continue to speak the truth because I never know what God is doing. But if I can't be in a place of thanksgiving, if I can't be in a place of sharing because I have succumbed to my situations, how can I spread the gospel that God has commissioned each and every one of us to do? So we need to get back to that place of zeal, of sharing, of just trusting God that God's going to do something with it. It doesn't have to be macaroni and cheese. Excuse me. Matthew 6:20 says, "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." People, we have a hope that is lacking in a great majority of the people around us. They truly don't know how to say thank you to God. They've been taught to say thank you to man. But the fact is that God is the creator of all good gifts. He destines those for you. We need to find every opportunity to thank God. And again, it says in the scriptures that we're storing it up in heaven. If I take everything that I'm getting and I'm storing it up for my personal use, and I'm not doing anything to give it to anyone else, but I'm hoarding it, God says that that is something that is going to rust and that the moth are going to come and eat it. And so let's not do that here. Let's do it in heaven where that doesn't occur. That's bringing heaven onto earth, giving away what you have. And if you don't have anything, there's something that you can give. It doesn't need to be money. It doesn't need to be a possession. It could be something as simple as your time, your prayers, your heart, caring, loving, embracing, being able to have an ear to hear when someone's in need, running to the need of others. That is more valuable than money, because according to this word, that is going to rust and die. But your time, what you've done into the lives of others, that is something that's being stored in heaven. Every time you share your faith, it's as if you just deposit it into a bank in heaven, the bank of heaven. You have an ATM card. It's spiritual. Every time you share your faith, every time that you do something in God's name. And it's so funny because the scripture says that Jesus said, "When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was in the hospital, you came and visited me." The things that were like, when did I visit you, Lord? You stored it in heaven. It was being stored up in heaven. How can we be thankful? By finding rest in Christ Jesus. Staying in a strong tower. Passing the test when tested. Remembering the crown of life. Doing God's will. Being guided by the Holy Spirit, whom God said was the deposit for what's to come. Giving our all to the things of the Spirit. Satisfying our spirit first and not living on bread alone, while storing our treasures in heaven. Why? Because thanksgiving is for every day. You know, in Matthew 4, Jesus was led into the wilderness and he was tempted by the enemy. I'm going to read it to you and we're going to end with this. It says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. When Jesus was at his weakest, the devil, the tempter, came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.'" Jesus had a need. He was hungry. His body, his flesh, was in need. The enemy came in exactly when Jesus was at his weakest. The enemy is going to come in exactly in your weakest. Whenever you feel the weakest, that's when the temptation is going to be as bad as it can be. We need to take the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we need to do it his way. We may think we know our way, but we need to do it His way. And His way was, Jesus answered, it is written. Where is it written? It is written in the Word of God. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. People, we need to live by the word that comes out of the mouth of God. Not of your friends that are telling you other things that are not based on the truth, which is the Word of God. But we need to live out of that word, which is the word of life. We need to be led by the Spirit just like Jesus was led. I just want you guys to just take an opportunity right now. And what are we to be thankful for? You know, we had Thanksgiving dinner. And maybe we gave thanks to God when we prayed over dinner. Maybe we said a few words. But in light of what you just heard today, let's just bow our heads. Allow for the Holy Spirit to just bring to light what we've been failing to see, recognizing the many blessings that God has already done for you. And let's just take this time to give Him thanks. Dude, that's a personal thing that you do exactly where you're at. We thank You, Lord. We praise You, Father, because You are good. You're a good Father. You're a good Father that gives good gifts. And You've given us the best gift, Lord, the gift of life, the gift of Jesus. And so, Lord, as we reflect and take an account right now, Lord, hear our prayers, Lord. Hear what is due to You long ago. Just where you're at right now, pray it in your heart. Ask God to receive the thanks that He so does deserve. Lord, You are so good, Father. And Lord, we just raise these thanks up to You, Lord. We give them to You. Lord, we just ask You to forgive us. Lord, corporately as a body, Lord, we ask You to forgive us, Lord, for not remembering the sacrifice of the cross. For not remembering to come to Your strong tower, Lord. Lord, for not remembering that when we are being tested, Lord, that You are right beside us, encouraging and opening a way for escape, Lord. Father, we ask You to forgive us for not remembering the promises of the crown of life that You have so extended to us. Lord, we ask You to forgive us, Lord, for not doing Your will here on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. Lord, we ask You to forgive us, Lord, for not being led by Your Holy Spirit. Father, we ask You to forgive us, Lord, for not keeping and remembering the deposit of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that You've given us for what's to come. Father, we ask You to forgive us for not storing up riches in heaven, but hoarding Your riches here on earth, Lord. Forgive us, O Lord. And Lord, finally, please forgive us for not thanking You for the little and only expecting to thank You for the much. But we are thankful, Lord God, that You're a God of forgiveness and that You have forgiven us and all we needed to do was say so. And so we are glad and we are thankful. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen.